This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
This is the first Sunday of the month, and the first Sunday we focus on faith and healing. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, healing is a powerful subject. And when you think about Jesus and you think about his ministry, you know, he came down here to fulfill the covenant, to walk this life perfectly, to be our perfect high priest and to pay the sin debt for our sins. But he came down here, and you cannot separate the good news of the gospel from healing. So if you think about the gospel, which means good news, there's good news today that you can walk in health and healing. And so, but see, there's even churches out here that don't teach that. Some churches teach that, you know, if you get sick, maybe that's God's will. Maybe that's what God wants in your life, to teach you something, to make you more pious, to make you more holy, you know, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And so everything doesn't come from God. Sometimes we get this theology that God is sovereign and everything that comes in our life, God must be ordaining it or he's permitting it. So that must be God's will. I don't think so. Amen. Sickness is not God's will for your life. You got to get a revelation of that. And so we're going to look at some scriptures because the title of my sermon is Mountain Moving Faith. See, some people think it's all, if you're going to be healed, it's all about God. God's going to do it. Yes and no. It's God's power, but it's our faith. Amen. I'm going to say it again. It's God's power, but you have to have some faith. Can I give you an example this morning? See, when I was sitting in church on a Sunday night and the preacher said, "Do you need Jesus?" Right? If you really need Jesus in your life, raise your hand. If I didn't raise my hand by faith, I wouldn't have received Jesus that night. I had to do something. And then he said, "You have to come down to the altar." I had to do something else, walk down to the altar. And then I had to pray a prayer. So there were things that I had to do to get saved. Amen? So it's not all God. Amen? Say, it's God and me working together. So it's God and us working together. So we got to work together with God. You believe that today? And so a lot of people think, some people think erroneously, well, you know, if God's going to heal me, he'll heal me. If not, then whatever. Don't have an attitude like that. No, no. You have to start believing that God wants you healed. You have to start believing that God wants you prosperous. You have to start believing that God wants you to have blessed relationships. Amen? You have to start believing. Somebody say, "I'm a believing believer." So here in Matthew 4:23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of diseases among the people." Notice that he was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. Amen. And so I really believe this, and I want our church, Exceed Life Church, to be known as a healing church. Amen. I want our church. I want people to say, well, that church, when people go to that church, they get healed. Amen. They get set free. They get, there's something, they believe in healing. Amen. And people come in, and people have already come into our church, and they've received healings in the church. We have testimonies of people being healed. Glory to God. God's good. So we see here that Jesus went around Galilee teaching, preaching, and healing all kinds of sickness. In Luke 9:6 says, "So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." I'm just pulling a couple of scriptures that talks about healing. And Matthew 8:16, it says here, "When evening has come, they brought to him," Jesus, "many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word and healed all who were sick." Amen. So you have to say that the gospel, good news, and healing are connected. Amen. I love that. And then Jesus was teaching his disciples to heal the sick too. Is that interesting? So Jesus in Matthew 10:1 says this, and when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Amen. I love that. So sickness and demonic oppression are connected. I'm going to say again, sickness and demonic oppression is connected. Sometimes people are sick because there's demonic oppression in their life. And that demonic depression has to be broken by the power of the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Am I talking to anybody today? And if you've ever dealt with depression or if you've ever felt oppressed, it might be demonic oppression. See, a lot of times people preach and you hear preachers talk about the goodness of God and how great God is, but they never talk about how bad the devil is. They don't want to talk about the devil. If we don't talk about the devil, maybe he doesn't exist. That's the biggest lie the devil wants to place on Christians, that he's not around. But the devil is around, and he's trying to eat your lunch and pop your bag. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? That's what the devil wants to do. He's going around seeing whom he can devour, seeking those whom he can devour. And he devours dumb Christians. That's who he devours. You believe that? Ignorant Christians. Christians that don't know their covenant rights. They get eaten up by the devil. Amen? They get destroyed. Amen? The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed. What? God's people can be destroyed? Yeah. Well, how? By lack of knowledge. And if you don't know, then how can you partake? If you don't know about the Word of God, how can you partake about the promise? If you don't know that God's promises are yes and amen, then maybe the devil will say maybe. And you say, well, that's God. He's saying maybe. No, he always says yes and amen.
Amen.
It's not no and maybe. Amen. And so in Matthew 8:6, he said, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he goes a little deeper. He says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 10:6-8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. What? Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. So this is telling me that Jesus is saying, the same power I'm walking in, I want you to walk in that same power.
Amen.
Oh, but Pastor, you're going a little too far now. I mean, that was Jesus. But Jesus gave the power to his disciples. And he gave them power to do all these things, even to raise the dead.
Amen.
And some people say, well, you know, is God still doing miracles today? Yes, he is. Amen? He is. Now, the Great Commission is powerful. And the Great Commission, this was right before Jesus went and ascended back to heaven. Jesus, when he went to the cross, he was in the tomb for 3 days, and then he rose on the third day. But you know that he was here ministering for 40 days, glory to God, before he ascended into heaven. And he ministered this called the Great Commission. And he says here, before he was, and he's not just talking about his disciples 2,000 years ago. How many people in here is a disciple of Jesus Christ? Then he's talking to you today. And he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those that believe. Notice this, signs will follow those that believe. It doesn't say signs will just follow the pastors. Signs will follow the apostles. Signs will follow the evangelists. No, it says signs will follow those that believe. Somebody say, I believe.
I believe.
You got to activate the power of God through believing. Somebody say, I believe.
I believe.
And it says, in my name you will cast. The first thing he tells his disciples is to cast out demons. Why? Because Jesus is greater than any demon out there. And his power is more powerful than the demonic powers that are working in this earth. Do you believe that today? And sometimes we talk more about what the devil's doing instead of what God is doing. And we need to switch up, you know, flip the script and start talking about how big God is and how small the devil is.
Amen.
And the devil is smaller than God. Amen? Amen. He's not even in the same territory. It's not yin and yang. Some people say yin and yang. You know, and people don't know what I'm talking about. Some people don't know what I'm talking about. It's equal forces of evil and good, yin and yang. It's an equal force. It's not an equal force. God is way bigger than the devil. Amen. And then he says here that you take up serpents, and you drink any dead thing, won't hurt you, and you will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Somebody say, I have power. You got to start believing you got some power, amen? And you got power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, amen? So healing is a part of the gospel, amen? And God is healing today. Some people say, is he healing today? Yes, he's healing today. Because it wasn't just, these aren't just good stories that happened 2,000 years ago. God is still on the move today. And we know this that because God does not change. In Hebrews 13:8, it says here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if Jesus was the same yesterday, if he was a healing Jesus yesterday, he's a healing Jesus today. Do you believe that today? Amen. I believe that. You got to believe that. And so the Bible reveals that. Now, there is, directions or a way that sick people in the church can be healed, okay? In James 5:14-15, it says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed any sins, he'll be forgiven. Now, this is powerful right here. Don't miss what it says in here. It says, if there's any sick among you, which it should be rare, amen, if you're in a Bible-believing church. It should be rare that there's any sick, amen, if you're in a Bible-believing church that believes in healing. But he said, call upon the elders, that's the pastors of the church, and let them pray over him. And notice this, let him call for the elders. This is an important fact. See, people need to ask for prayer. People that are sick, a lot of times I get people call me and say, can you pray for this person over here? Do they want me to come over there and pray for them? No, I want you to pray for them. It may not work. Because you got to have some humility to ask for prayer for yourself. I know this is, this might be upsetting some people. I will pray for people, and I have prayed for people, but if they're not asking for prayer, they may not want it. And you may be pushing something off on people that they don't care about having, and then you're wasting the pastor's time and their time. Oh, man, now I'm going somewhere today. So the people that are sick should be calling on the elders. They should have enough humility to ask for prayer. Well, if the pastor wants to pray for me, he can come over. You know, no, it's not that kind of attitude. You got to be asking somebody for prayer. You got to call the pastor. And pastor, can you come over? That shows a sign of humility. That shows a sign of repentance that you want a pastor to come and minister healing to you. Now, that's not my main subject for today, but I'm going to give that free to you today. Amen. And so call upon the elders. Amen. That's that's a great scripture for healing people in the church. But I believe this, that your own faith can heal you. Oh, now that's a good, that's strong. Your own faith can bring healing in your lives. Most people say, well, you know, I'm just going to pray and lean on the pastor's faith. And the pastor is a great faith person. So I'm going to just lean on his faith. But you're going to have to get to a point where you have your own faith. Amen. Oh, man, what? Is that right, Pastor? You're going to have to get your own faith. See, my faith can only go so far. But you're going to have to learn to walk in your own faith. And you're going to have to learn to get it for yourself. Am I preaching to somebody today? In other words, you can't be a lazy Christian. You got to do your own due diligence. Am I talking to anybody today? Or have you gone home? So I believe that healing can be propagated in your life by you believing. Amen. So today, my title is a mountain moving faith, or faith that can remove mountains. Is there a mountain of sickness in your life? Is there a mountain of debt in your life? You say, yeah, oh yeah, debt. Yeah, I got some debt. Is there any mountains of problems in your life? Well, you can do something about the mountains. Don't let the mountains speak to you. You're going to have to speak to your mountains. Amen. So let me. I'm going to go into my main verse this morning, but we got to go into some a backstory of the verse before I go into the main verse. So let's look at this. It says in Matthew 9:28, and when he, talking about Jesus, come to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, oh, let me back up and say this, that your faith can heal you. Let me add these scriptures in. I don't want to forget these scriptures. And Jesus would say a lot of times to the people that he was healing, it was according to their faith, not according to his power. This is important because when you study out all the people that Jesus healed, there were some people he healed just by his faith alone. He healed people by his own faith. And then there were some people that Jesus healed by their faith. And you got to understand that. And so let me give you a couple of scriptures pertaining to that. And in Matthew 9:28-30, it says this, and when he came into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? So now Jesus is saying, the blind man comes into Jesus' house, and now he's putting it on them. Do you believe that I can heal you? Same thing when you come up for prayer. Do you believe if I lay hands on you, you're going to be healed? Well, I don't know, Pastor. It's up to God. No. There's God, but you got to believe too. And he says, do you believe that I'm able? Then he said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Wow. So he healed people according to their faith. Amen. In Matthew 8:5-10, Jesus heals the centurion servant. And the centurion servant went to him and Jesus said, I'll go to your house. I'm paraphrasing it. But the centurion said, you don't have to go to my house. You just speak the word and my servant will be healed because I'm a soldier and I have soldiers under me. And I tell that one to do what they're supposed to do and they do it. And I know if you just speak the word, my servant would be healed. And then Jesus said, that's great faith. He said, that's the greatest faith I've ever heard. The greatest faith that you can walk in is taking God at his word, is believing that his word is true, regardless of what you're dealing with. And then Jesus said, according to how you believe, so shall it be. And the servant was healed within that hour. Think about that. So great faith is taking God at his word, saying, I believe you, God. Amen. And then in Matthew 8:13, it says, then Jesus said to the centurion, in Matthew 9:20-22, says, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And Jesus turned around when he saw her and said, be of good cheer, daughter. My power has made you well. My faith has made you well. No, it doesn't say that. It says, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Notice that? Jesus said, Jesus was walking. He was moving. The crowds were around him. There are many people touching him, but the lady touched him with faith. And the Bible says, and Jesus was so, he said, he noticed virtue came out of him in one in passage that said virtue came out of him, power came out of him. And he said, who touched me? And I'm telling you, when you touch Jesus with faith, power comes. Amen. You must have faith. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, get some faith. Amen. And so we see here, and he said, it's your faith that made you well. So Jesus said to the blind man, according to your faith, let it be done to you. He said to the centurion, as you believe, so shall it be for you. And he said also to the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. So your faith has something to do with your healing. That's the reason why you have to get into church and get into the Word and allow the Word of God to speak into you. Amen? Because faith does not come by praying. Some people say, oh, what, Pastor? Can you run that by me again? I thought I can have greater faith by praying. I can ask God for more faith. Amen? No, you can't pray for more faith. Faith doesn't come by praying, because you can pray a lot of unbelieving prayers. because I'm telling you, prayer won't make faith work, but faith will make prayer work. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Prayer won't make faith work, but faith will make prayer work. Because you can pray wrong. You can pray the problem. You can pray the issue. Oh, God. You can pray like this. Lord, when are you going to heal me? Please heal me, Lord. Please heal me. Please heal me, Lord. And you can do that 1,000 times. And the Bible already states that He has already healed you. But you're praying, Lord, heal me. But He already provided for you. So you're praying the same thing. Lord, heal me, heal me. And you're testing that you're healed because you're dealing with the pain, right? The pain is still there. The infirmity is there. So you're regulating your faith by your feelings. But you got to regulate your faith by the Word. And I know this is high faith today. It's like, Pastor, this sounds like, you know, I thought you have to wait until you're healed before you say you're healed. No, you say you're healed and then you receive the healing. You say you're healed before you're healed. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come by praying. So faith comes by continuing hearing the Word of God and hearing. Notice it says hearing and hearing. So faith comes by hearing and hearing. So this tells me something. If faith comes by hearing and hearing, then if you're not continually hearing the Word, then your faith can start to wane. In other words, you can forget. In other words, the Bible says, forget not none of His benefits in Psalms 103. Forget. Why? We can tend to forget. If we're not constantly in the Word of God, we can forget. Our faith can become inactive. And if you don't have that Word of God going into you every day, allowing that Word to feed your spirit every day, and if you take a vacation from God and be a vacation from the Word of God, your faith will start to wane. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And then pretty soon, you won't have any faith, because faith comes by hearing, not having heard, and you have to continue to hear it on a constant basis. You see, what happens is when sickness is attacking your body, you're continually hearing the pain. It's speaking to you, pain or issue or whatever, and it's speaking. You're going to have to speak louder than that.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Cancer might be speaking to you. Cancer. And you might be speaking, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And it may come out really small. And then you keep speaking, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Cancer. And then pretty, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Cancer. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? By Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. It has to be louder. You've got to get loud with your faith. Some people say God's not hard of hearing, but He's not nervous either. God's not nervous. You can get loud with God. It's okay. Blind Bartimaeus got loud with God. He said, Jesus! They said, shut up, old man. Jesus doesn't want to talk to you. And then finally, Jesus! He kept being louder and louder. And Jesus said, come on. Oh, the Master has grace on you. You know? Amen. Why? He kept getting louder. You gotta have loud faith.
Amen.
You gotta have a voice of a trumpet. Didn't God say to the Israelites to shout to the walls? Didn't He say that when they walked around the walls of Jericho that was impregnable? Did He not? Did He say whisper? Just whisper to the walls. No, he said, shout. You got to shout your walls of sickness down. You got to shout it down. You got to get serious. You got to get tenacious. How many fighters do I have in here? How many freedom fighters do I? You're fighting for the freedom of your health. You're fighting for the freedom of your family's health. You're fighting for freedom. We are freedom fighters. Man, I'm going to get this CD myself. Glory to God. Amen. I'm psyching myself up. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You got to psych yourself up. You got to get excited. Amen. Hallelujah. And I love that. So Jesus, now we're focusing on our main text here. And Jesus is walking. He just made a whip of cords and drove out the money changers. And it says the next day when they had come out to Bethany, this is Mark 11:12, Jesus was hungry, and seeing afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see perhaps it would find something on it. And when he came, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. This is interesting. Jesus didn't whisper it. Jesus said it out loud. No man shall eat fruit of you from this from now on. Amen. And he cursed the fig tree. And then it says the next morning, as they passed by, Mark 11:20, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." And so Peter was excited that words can heal and words can kill. Do you believe that today? There's power in our words. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you have received them, and you will have them." Now, see, this is a powerful verses of the Bible, and this is how you get mountain-moving faith. First of all, he says we must have faith in God. Really, we must have faith in God's Word, that God's Word can produce. See, God and His Word are inseparable. So God and His Word are one. And so you have to have faith. Say, "I have faith in God's Word." So you got to believe that God's Word will produce results in your life. So when we couple our faith confession, amen, with the Word of God, we will see results in our lives. Amen. Because the Word of God is powerful. So it's more than just saying, "Thank you, Lord, I'm healed." Throw some scripture in with your healing confession. Amen. And when you throw the scriptures in, you're now speaking the Word of God, and God will perform His Word in your life. In Hebrews 4:12, it says the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is the discerner and the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That was the most powerful weapon that day. You could say the Word of God is more powerful than an atomic bomb. It's more powerful than that. And so they were using the most powerful weapon, a two-edged sword. And the Word of God is like a two-edged sword, and it will cut any negative thing out of your lives. You believe that? Then he said, so we got to have faith in God. So number two, he said, speak to your mountains. See, your mountains will speak to you. That tree spoke to Jesus, and it spoke, "I have no figs." And Jesus was a fig man. He liked figs. And he would probably eat a fig Newton today. Glory to God. And he liked figs. And that tree had no figs on it. And it was speaking, "No figs." It looked like it was a hypocrite tree. Because it had leaves, like it had figs. But it had no fruit. All right, I'm telling you, I'm talking to somebody today. We got to have fruit. We can't be hypocritical in our faith. Amen. We got to have fruit in our faith. Amen. And so we got to. So Jesus said, speak to the mountain. So we have to actively speak to whatever's attacking our bodies and command it to leave in Jesus' name. If it's cancer, cancer, I command you to leave my body. If it's a headache, headache, I command you to leave my body. And then add this to the end, in Jesus' name. Amen. Add that to the end, in Jesus' name. That's like the salt on your food. Add it. You got to add the name of Jesus. Because every knee has to bow, every tongue has to confess that Jesus, Lord, to the glory of God. Cancer has to bow to the name of Jesus. Sickness has to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? So this works hand in hand in Matthew 18, 18. Speaking to your mountains. Amen? And then commanding the promises to come. It says, surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we take authority over sickness by binding it, and we take authority in Jesus' name by loosing healing into our lives. So we have to be doing these things. We have to command those things to leave. So number three, we confess the word of God over our sickness and as if our healing has activated today. So when you speak the healing scriptures, you got to believe it's working today. But you say, but I'm still dealing with the issue. That doesn't matter if you're still dealing, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So we're not going with how we feel about it. We're going with the written word of God. And you keep speaking it and speaking it. And the more you speak it, the more you're going to believe it. I'm going to say it again. The more you speak something, the more you're going to believe it. If you speak sickness, you're going to have sickness. If you speak health, you're going to have health. If you keep talking about your problems, then that's what you're going to have is problems. Oh, man, my sciatica. Why are you claiming it to be yours? My hemorrhoids. Why are you claiming it to be yours? Don't claim it. It's the devil's hemorrhoids. Give it back to the devil. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not yours. Don't claim it. My cancer. No, my cold. No, it's not yours. Don't claim it. Too many people are claiming what they got. Oh, man, my bad back. Amen. No, don't claim it. Claim healing. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So you need to confess the healing scriptures over your sickness. It says here in Isaiah 53, surely he bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. So for an example, you can say, thank you, Lord. According to your word, you bore my sickness, carried my pain, and by your stripes I am healed. Now you can start saying that every day. Thank you, Lord. According to your word, you bore my sickness and carried my pain, and by your stripes I am healed. And then the pain is still there. And you say, thank you, Lord. According to your word, and the pain is still there. Thank you, Lord. According to your word, and the pain is still there. Thank you, Lord. According to your word, and the pain is still there. Thank you, Lord. What are you doing? You're hearing yourself saying it. And pretty soon, pain becomes pain, 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 until it goes. Because your faith activates the power of God in your life. You got to keep saying it until you have it. And you can't quit. You got to keep believing and saying it over. Thank you, Lord. And it's getting worse. Thank you, Lord. And it's getting worse. Thank you, Lord. And finally, it's gone. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? You got to keep speaking it, because faith comes by hearing and hearing. And the more you hear you say it, the greater your faith becomes, and your faith will take a hold of it and you will have it. But what we do is we just do it for a short period. And then the pain persists, and we take the Advil. Yeah. And it's nothing wrong with taking medication, but start working on the small things. Start working on the headache. And instead of jumping to the Advil, you know, oh, let me grab an Advil. You know, start speaking the word and start priming your faith on the small things. And then when the big things come, you'll be ready for them. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Start priming your faith on the small things, and when the big things come, you'll be ready for it. So what am I saying? To have mountain-moving faith, you must have faith in God's word. You must speak to the mountains and command it to go, number two. Number three, you must speak out the promise of God and command it to come. And you must thank God for the healing that you already have, and it's in manifestation, even though you don't see it yet. Even though you don't see it. The Bible says that Abraham gave glory to God when he didn't have Isaac yet. He continued to give glory to God, and he was called father of many nations before he had the promised child. God calls those things that be not as though they were. And this is a method that God uses. He calls you, you know, saved before you even get saved. Glory to God. And so you got to call yourself healed before you even see the sickness go away. Amen. So you're calling that forth. So let me give you one more bonus key before I close out, because I got to give you a bonus key this morning. You got to have a bonus key, because this scripture right here connects, and everything that I just taught you won't work if you don't do this last key. And you say, what is that last key, Pastor? I better get a hold of that one. It says here in Mark 11:25, it's connected to these keys. Whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. This is powerful, because faith works by love, and faith makes prayer work. Prayer doesn't make faith work. And if your faith is working by love, it works. But you can disconnect your faith by walking out of love. And by walking out of love is by walking in anger towards people and holding ought against people, unforgiveness against people. And that will shut down your faith. That will keep the power of God from working in your life. But I'm doing all these other keys. Yeah, but this key will sink your boat if you don't do it. If you don't forgive out of your heart, God won't forgive you, and the blessings of God cannot work in your life like it needs to. You need to learn to forgive. Number one, you need to learn to forgive people that have hurt you. Remember Job? And in Job, he was attacked by the devil, and he was sick, and he lost his fortune. Did you know what God told him to get his healing and to get his fortune back? Pray for his friends and forgive his friends that spoke negative while he was in his plight. He said, pray for your friends. You need to pray for those who despitefully use you. Let it go and let God. And number two, you got to forgive yourself. And this is another key, because the devil will say, well, you made your bed, so you got to sleep in it. You opened the door for the devil. You did these wrong things. You smoked for 30 years. You have lung cancer. And because you smoke, this is what you get, because you reap what you sow. But God still can heal you of lung cancer, even though you did dumb things all your life. So you got to forgive yourself of the dumb things that you've done in your past. Because if you have a spirit of condemnation, you cannot receive the blessings of God. So you got to forgive yourself and let it go and let God. Because God, if you ask God's forgiveness, he doesn't even remember anymore. So you don't need to bring it up any longer. It's a sin in the past under the blood, and you don't think about it, and God doesn't think about it. And the devil will try to bring it up to you. Well, remember how you did this, and what you didn't do this, and you didn't do enough of this. No, no, no. Let that go. Today, you're living for God. That was yesterday's man. You're a new man today. You're a new woman today. You're living for God. You're speaking the word. You're walking in love. You're walking in forgiveness. That you are a new man. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You're living in the here and now, not yesterday. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? What was that song? Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now they seem to be here to stay. Oh, I Terrible song. I believe in yesterday. Terrible song. Are you? Don't believe in yesterday. Glory to God. That's a terrible song. These secular songs can wreck your faith. Don't be singing these secular songs. Oh, I believe my troubles will be here to stay. No! My Bible says, I know the plans. I'm getting out of my seat now. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. There are good plans to give you a hope and a future. God has good things in store for you. Your future is bright in God. You got to believe it. That God is moving and your sickness is just a temporary situation. It's subject to change, but God's word is eternal and it will change the seen things in our life. The unseen word will change the problems that we're facing in life today. And as we speak the word, as we command, as we believe in God's word, and we speak to the mountains, and we command them to go, and we speak to the promises, and we command them to come, and we stand and believe that we have it today, and we forgive those who have hurt us, and we forgive ourselves, we're going to see the blessings and the grace of God and healing in our lives. Did you believe it today? Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, for these precious people in the audience, those that are listening, watching, and perhaps you've never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And today is the day of salvation. You can confess yourself into an eternal relationship with the Father God. And it's very easy to do. Just pray this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your love, your peace, and your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. We believe you'll be blessed if you do. If you're here locally, come out, be part of Exceed Life Church. We'd love to have you here. If you're not in the area, get into a good church home where they preach the Word of God and the truth of His Word. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.